All right, I think we're here, right?
I think we're here, Robert. Yep.
All right. Well, welcome to another exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Now, I really am going to say upside down Cambridge Inside, because I think you are. I think we're going to appear differently. But anyway.
All right.
This is Judy Nathan. Sorry.
All right. And today is April 21st.
Yes, which is remarkable for some reason. I don't know what, but.
Well, and spring.
Spring? Is spring April 21st? No, that was
March. No, that was in March, but definitely spring is underway. And I used to always count the months, noting that this was around the time when a lot of the trees were leafing out and whatever. And that is happening.
You know, thank goodness. Really? You know, you go outside and you see daffodils, you see forsythia, you see life that is not, you know, it's at least something.
No, it's pretty uplifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, we have daffodils. It's funny how we have daffodils that were supposed to be, they were directed for, I think, the Encore Casino, but somebody got hold of them. So we got some of them
You're kidding. They were from the Encore? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. All this reinvention going on.
Yeah. Speaking of which, what are they? I mean, it was bad enough that we have to have these places, and I didn't think they were making money. But now, forget it. I mean,
Well, I mean, that's going to be, I think, the biggest question of all is what kinds of changes do we see happening as a result of this? I've already heard a lot of people talk about the effect on short-term rentals.
In fact,
they're now thinking, well, we just try and get ourselves some real tenants now. People who operate hotels.
They're not going to travel. That's true. Your hotels are in big trouble. Yeah.
Big trouble. Yeah. And, you know, that'll be interesting. But I think that's a giant conversation, is to sort of see what other major changes grow out of the crisis.
Experiencing for a while. Yeah. Until there's really a vaccine, or although, you know, the next pandemic is probably down the road, because I hate to be, but we really need to be better prepared. If anything, it's taught us that. But,
Well, so maybe this will be sort of the test to sort of see if we're actually capable.
So. People tend to forget, you know, but I don't think anyone can forget this.
I was thinking about this last week, and how, you know, people from my parents and grandparents' generation lived through. My grandmother's first husband died in the Spanish flu in 1918.
Yes.
And people from my parents' generation lived through World War I, World War II.
Right.
You know, we've in a sense had it kind of lucky in that for a lot of us, at least.
Yeah. Well, maybe, you know. Yeah. I think the younger folk, I mean, my daughter was 15 when 9/11 happened, and that's not fun. And then we have the financial collapse of 2008. But you're right. I mean, this is definitely going to be.
Yeah. It's sort of, I like to think of it as saying it's sort of our little taste of what a lot of people in other parts of the world live through every day when there's bombs falling. And
you're absolutely right about that, because we have really been immune, you know, because we're surrounded by water. We haven't had the migration, you know, we have immigration, you know, problems from Mexico, but nothing like what other countries have experienced. And this is now, we're just like the rest of them. And if not, and we're worse, actually. I mean, maybe it's our population, but we have more deaths than anybody.
Right. But, you know, people who live in places beset by civil wars, you know,
they have no access to anything. Right. They don't have clean water. They don't have, you know, safe.
You want to just go out and get some milk or a loaf of bread, that you'll probably be shot. So,
well, that's,
you know,
right.
This is our little, you know, we're still okay in comparison. By the way, so right before this show, there was the city council. They may still be meeting right now.
I think till at least 6:30. We both tuned in. I did till 6:22.
And I have to say, you know, the public health people all up and down the line
absolutely
incredible.
Yes.
You know, and you know, there had been I've been hearing or reading some stories about how we opened shelters but nobody showed up. But the truth is that in fact they've been very systematically moving populations from 240 Albany Street, Salvation Army, the warming shelter, which it was really a winter phenomenon, so that's now closed. So, you know, they've actually been very thoughtful, and
closed. I think they kept it open, the warming center. They got an extension, I think.
Yeah, they did, but they may have moved everybody out by now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I give them a tremendous amount of credit, you know, and, you know, and I hope that our elected officials aren't too obsessed with second guessing all of the public health people, because they've been great.
I know. I think generally there was good response. And, you know, we are so lucky to live in a community that has such richness of resources, not only financial, but, you know, health wise. We have Harvard, we have MIT, we have Cambridge Health Alliance. I have been learning more and more about what they do. They am very impressed. The woman that did speak, did you hear, Dr.? Let me see. It's Luann Bruno Murtha. She spoke. She was also on Marjorie Decker's town hall last week. She's very, very good. And that's another thing. Shout out to CCTV for carrying Marjorie's.
Absolutely.
And us.
And us.
Everything else they do. We love CCTV.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it was, they did do some more updates.
The
case count has been rising still, and it will for a while. I think we're up to 608 now.
Oh, wow.
And there was an additional fatality. So we're up to 28 fatalities now citywide. And they still haven't, and they're not ready yet, as far as I can tell, to say, well, how does that break out in terms of age categories or how many?
The age is on that data sheet and gender.
I think in terms of case count, but not in terms of fatalities.
Oh, I haven't seen
it. Yeah, right.
Except, I think they show it in the residential, in the nursing. I don't know. There's more deaths in the nursing.
Right.
But you know what I was curious about? This 02139 hotspot where I live and you live, you know, when is that data going to be available?
Not sure. But, you know, one of the things that always comes to mind is that, you know, it's sort of like the perennial problems of Central Square. Central Square definitely is where you will find a lot more of the street people with substance abuse issues.
You're actually right. And you know what? They're getting tested, and most of us aren't. So maybe that you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're being tested, and as a result, they may be reflected very much in some of those numbers.
And there's
I'm curious.
Right on Prospect Street.
Yeah, there are. And I don't know yet which nursing homes and assisted living facilities are sort of.
Well, they did mention, they gave a list that they're going to.
Yes. And about a third of all in the case count are related to these residential facilities.
It's happening around the country. So,
yeah. Now, one other thing I think we talked about last week, maybe we should do a little bit more of it this week, too, is that. You know, you've been getting around, taking a few photos here and there of sort of the changing nature of the city.
Yes.
So maybe we could spend a few minutes taking a look at some of the images. So I'm going to just do a little screen switch here.
Okay.
All right. And hopefully this will be doing it right here. So are we seeing that? Okay.
Yeah, I can see the April 21st chart, right?
Okay.
Scroll down.
It's, you know, one of the things that's sort of problematic in the way I get to see this here is I don't.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I can see it now.
There you go.
So what I did I updated the case count chart with the latest data. Just based on what was actually said at the meeting.
That went up like this today.
So it's
today and now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, there'll be a second round of revisions to this probably before the night is through.
Yeah.
So I'll do a little update. But I still find it useful and in a way promising to sort of at least get a sense as to, you know, where the numbers are going. You can see these sort of some of these big jumps.
Well, definitely surging. Everyone said that we would be, right? Yeah.
Right. So the public health officials seem to be speaking rather optimistically that maybe we have sort of have reached that and maybe there's some reason to be optimistic about leveling off from this point on. I need to hear that personally.
Yeah, no, that was Dr. Luann Bruno Murtha that said that.
Yeah. So let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope for that.
Okay.
By the way, this was the image here of the meeting.
I think I sent that to you.
Yes, you did.
It's not a great
very quick.
I thought, because they're all masked now. They weren't masked last week. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, some of this is symbolic. I'm kind of hoping that everybody in the room is okay and not testing positive or anything.
I think if they were, they would not be there. Right. Well, the thing is, did they get tested? They haven't really said that.
Only the police commissioner said that he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I think regardless of what their actual status is, I think it's really a good message that every elected official should be doing to, you know, and you see it on the TV news as well, where people actually separate 6 feet or more away from each other.
Baker's press conferences are really good.
I mean, people often mimic what they see. And if they don't see this, they don't mimic it. So I think it's really helpful, even if a relatively, I mean, I'm sure not that many people are tuning into this meeting here, but I still think in every opportunity, it's important for public officials to really send these right messages. Yeah.
Oh, I think a lot of people might have tuned in, people that normally tune into that. Anyway, now the reason I took this was...
is Trader Joe's.
But right at the time I took this, I had seen three Cambridge police on motorcycles actually coming into the parking lot, staying for a couple minutes, talking, and then leaving. And I think they purposely came in to see if people were doing this. I really do. I don't know. Yeah. That's my thought. But look at that. See, now that's all the way on the right there is a Trader Joe's employee. And then there's the line. And I understand from stuff that I've heard and read that they're doing a great job inside. They have shields. They have masks. And I think they're requiring you, which they should, to cover your face. Again, it's so that you don't cough and, you know, it's not necessarily going to protect you from someone else if you, you know, touch a contagious person, but it does show people that you're being careful about your, you know, presence.
I'm getting the sense that, you know, we've passed the mad scramble period where every store, every place was sort of inventing things on the fly. Yeah. Now it's almost like we're settling into a protocol of best practices at most places.
No, I agree. No, I think Trader Joe, I mean, that's the one that I go to. It's in my neighborhood. And then, well, it's in actually, Central Square. And then the Whole Foods, I think, is doing similar things.
I think I mentioned this last week, and I'll say it again, is that this certainly brings into stark view the notion about distribution of resources, food resources, supermarkets, so that in dire times, that everybody should have some reasonable access to groceries, whether affordable or not, just to be able to, you know, in a pinch, be able to get what you need. You know,
And there's people.
I hope that becomes part of the greater conversation as we move forward.
Just
that notion of access to essentials.
Right.
Now I like this photo you sent here.
Yeah, now this was a while ago. This was, I think, probably a few weeks ago when I was down by, I guess that lower part near, that's the Longfellow Bridge, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really interesting. This woman had to go, I don't know how she got out there, but definitely taking social distancing to a new height.
Yeah, I like the file name was Extreme Social Distancing,
right,
which I thought was totally appropriate.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, I think I'm going to kind of exit this for now. We've certainly looked at some of the other photos before.
Yeah.
Right. So we're back here.
Yeah. So how is it in terms of you're still doing your online teaching and that's okay or what?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually getting pretty facile now at just doing the Zoom meetings for my class. And, you know, there's always a distinction. Is it a lecture day or which case I record it? Is it a recitation day, in which case I don't. Today it was more of a lecture, even though it was technically a recitation day.
Now, but is it like a classic Zoom where you see people can show their face or their what they're doing and also talk if you acknowledge them? Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. So the Zoom meetings are pretty good that way in that you see everybody.
Right.
I mean, you can switch from one person, just the speaker, to
the
gallery.
Does everybody have to? They may not want to be seen, though, right?
They don't have to. You can always turn off your video, in which case you just have a static image.
Right.
You know, certainly when I'm like going drinking a sip of coffee or something, I shut off my video for that.
Right.
Just like if I'm going to cough, I turn
I mean, unfortunately, my processor doesn't allow me to put a virtual background in there, or I don't have a green. I don't know.
Well, you know, another thing I'm noticing, because, you know, I also teach in the Harvard Summer School.
Right.
It makes me think about sort of the long-term after effects of this. So will there be more online learning as a result of this?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Will more employees work from home as sort of a permanent adjustment?
Yeah.
So that there are fewer people commuting 5 days a week. Yeah. I suspect that will become the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even as we return to more normal times one of these days. But one of the things that I noticed with my Harvard Summer School is that when there was all the lack of clarity about what's going to happen, mm-hmm. that the enrollment, my course was stuck at around 16.
Yeah.
And then they made a switch. They asked us if I'd be willing to do a web conference course with an online, you know, just do it all online through Zoom. And I said, sure, I'll do that. I think I'm starting to get good at that. So let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the numbers started to rise. Now, as of an hour ago, the enrollment in my summer school course is higher than it has been in any summer.
Well, because they're all anticipating that they're not going to be able to go do it in person.
Yeah. And the online option, certainly it opens up the door to a lot of people who might not otherwise have done a residential program.
Right.
I may have to have another person help the course. But that's okay. We can do that. That's right. Now we have ways of making it happen.
So what else? Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was going to mention, because, you know, there was this kind of kerfuffle about whether the Memorial Drive or various other city streets should be closed to create opportunities. I mean, it always sort of drives home the different kinds of conversations they're having in Chelsea versus Cambridge.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in Chelsea, it's kind of more life and death.
Desperate, life and death.
In Cambridge, we argue over access to recreation.
Right, because we can't get out on a street because it's so crowded, right? Oh, come
right. Yeah. I don't buy it. And one of the interesting things, and I heard about this in both New York as well as in Cambridge, somebody was complaining about people drag racing or racing motorcycles on Memorial
Drive. Oh, I just saw
that today.
Yeah.
I did hear that traffic because is so much reduced.
Right.
The people are just driving like bats out of hell. And, you know, that's a problem. I mean, you know, we all know that traffic congestion is traffic calming.
Right.
So right now it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It's traffic excitation.
So what are they doing about it? Are they trying to get the police out there?
You know, to whatever degree the police are not themselves taxed with other more important matters.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good point.
On the other hand, there are fewer vehicles out. Maybe the likelihood of terrible accidents could be reduced. I don't know. But it's an interesting and unexpected sort of outcome.
Yes. Also, now what do you, they're going to, I guess starting tomorrow, they're going to have trucks go around doing announcements about wearing masks and some other stuff in different languages, right? From like,
Instead of in Lewis, we'll have the sound truck going around saying.
Has that been suspended?
That has been suspended. Normally would have commenced for April.
Right.
But right now it's still on tap to begin again in May. But I would be surprised if that actually happened.
Right.
And the thing is that if they do the street sweeping, I imagine they're not going to be doing the towing. But nobody said anything yet, so nobody should assume.
What about parking meters? I was curious about that. Are they checking? Because they're probably full. They haven't been emptied, have they?
All parking meters have been suspended for the duration.
Oh, does that say that somewhere?
It said it in city announcements. So, you could park. Yeah, you could just park anywhere.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, little blessings that we could do without. But
this thing about the masks, you know, you clearly had like Tim Toomey and even Mark McGovern are pretty strong about people aren't doing it, especially Toomey. And I agree with him. I'm out a lot and I do see, you know, some runners did have masks on, some cyclists, but I would say 70%, if not more, do not. And you know what? I don't know. you're breathing more. And also, it's not just those people. Like, if two people that are obviously, you know, cohabitating or something, but they're talking and they're not wearing masks and they're on the path, I'm sorry, cover yourself up. I just don't get that. It's not being polite at this
point. One of the things I found interesting was there was a lot of discussion that because of an opinion from Maura Healey, the Attorney General.
Oh, what was her opinion?
The opinion was that you couldn't require people to wear masks. And when, as soon as I heard that, and everybody was quoting it saying, well, the Attorney General says so. Well, let me tell you something. The Attorney General is not the law.
True.
They prosecute, but they're not the law. And apparently now, at least I heard in the closing moments before I left the council meeting, that in fact, they're actually taking a different point of view, because now they're saying, well, if it is during a public health emergency, there are restrictions you can impose.
Interesting.
So personally, I want them to impose it at least a little bit more. Enforcement will always be difficult.
Oh, you can't enforce that. I mean, you can't enforce recycling. I mean, you know, that's right. True. You can have all the laws in the book, but I think it will make people feel shamed. I mean, I hate to use that word, but, you know, I'm sorry. And I've, I don't know. I'm thinking of having a sign that I hold up every time, but I don't want to be one of those people.
Right. Yeah. No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I've been, you know, we all, you know, we watch the news. I found it kind of amazing. There are two things, you know, everybody wanted to see, you know, better environmental protection. But now there's this kind of a weird sort of opportunism of saying, look how much cleaner the water is. Look how much cleaner the air is. It's almost as if to say, oh, isn't this great that we're going through this? Because
Well, it almost says this is what we'd have to do in order to get the, we'd have to stop living. We'd have to.
I don't know. We all love cleaner air and cleaner water, but I don't think this is really the right time to be celebrating that.
No, but the thing about the cleaner air and water, though, those two things, you know, Trump has curtailed. I mean, he's made that worse. We did have good clean air regulation
and they're deregulating
and that is not, that's unforgivable. Okay, so regardless of what the situation is with it now, those are the things that need to stay in place, and we've got to get rid of him. But that's another
thing. You know, one other thing sort of marginally related to that, but which I found kind of incredible was yesterday in the news that the price of crude oil.
Oh, it's minus something negative. What do they call it? Yeah.
It's back in positive today, but I didn't even know how to interpret that.
I remember it was $90 a gallon.
$90 a barrel. Yeah. Yeah. And then it was sort of down around 50, and then it dropped into 20s and 10s. And then for at least a while yesterday, it was like negative 5 or
negative
10.
Something. Yeah. And you know what's concerned? Go ahead.
Well, the thing about that, which the way I interpret it is that, you know, it's sort of like the old statement people used to make about if you want to turn a super tanker because you're heading into port, you have to start 10 miles out because it takes a long time. I think that certain things in production are so long term, including oil production, that it's not like you just switch it off. So there's
capacity, though. There's too much capacity.
Right. So you already had oil being moved on super tankers coming into ports, and then there was a capacity issue.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying, please take it off our hands. Right.
Well, but unfortunately, you know what's is happening. I mean, I listen to a lot of recycling things. I listened to one today on the recycling market for plastics. And this was brought up. I brought it up on a Q&A, but the oil industry is, they do make plastics. And so Texas, a lot of, you know, big plants there are actually making more plastics. And this is going to give them another market. So we have to be careful with that.
Right. Yeah. It is interesting to see all these sort of unanticipated
consequences. Yes.
All up and down.
Are we aware? Now let's, we do have 3 minutes left because it's 6:57. We have to be aware of that.
Right. So maybe the last thing I'd just mention is that, you know, again, every time when I listen to the city council meetings or the city manager speak about what the city's doing, I did notice that they will be bringing the budget in for the coming year in May. Not a little later than usual.
Okay.
And the budget hearing is at end of May and early June. And I am interested to see what the budgetary implications of all of the increased activities will be, as well as any relief that the city can legally provide.
Yeah.
You know, as I like to say, if our unreserved fund balance or so-called free cash is the rainy day fund, well, it's raining like hell right now.
But, you know, that the disaster relief fund, I mean, I gave to it. It's been very, I mean, it's over $3 million. And I think that's really great, you know.
No, it's really helpful. Yeah. And, you know, as I say, the residents of the city, the institutions of the city.
Food for free. Not forget them.
Food for free, absolutely. Yeah. You know, so anyway, it's been very interesting to kind of watch people step up in every way that they possibly can.
Yes.
And for me, the one thing as we emerge from this in the days to come, it'll be to watch what the long-term effects of the crisis will be.
Yes.
You know, will rents stabilize?
Well,
housing prices drop?
I think they're going to have to. There's going to be a glut of rentals on the market.
Right.
You know?
Will the trend of people wanting to live in dense urban areas, will that shift at all?
Yeah, true.
Hard to say, you know? So I think there's a lot of things, interesting things to watch in the days to come.
Okay. All right. Well, we should wrap it up soon. We've got 15
minutes. So we're kind of winding down here.
And I think we'll be on next week. It's just a half hour.
Well, we'll see, but we'll certainly get the word out one way or another. Just find out where we are. So,
all right. Thanks, Robert. Bye.
Thanks.